Hello and welcome to our ongoing series of conversations with people that are bringing clarity to our digital lives. Very fortunate to catch up with Chris Ambrosek. He is the Vice President and General Manager for TiVo Discovery. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Chris, let me start by asking you, what is taking place in the current landscape of content providers, operators, and streaming providers as they develop their plans for the rest of the decade?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I can sum it up real quickly by saying it's a shifting landscape, and that landscape is presenting viewers and consumers with a plethora of choices, whether it's a traditional pay TV operator or an aggregation platform or an OTT streaming service provider. Viewers are really confronted with so much choice in where they can consume their content. And that's really leading to this situation where, and we have a consumer survey that we've been doing for a number of years, where we ask people how many sources of content are they consuming from, and that number has reached as high as 9 now. It even continues to creep up a little bit more. And so when you have in a household this many apps, each OTT supplier or each catalog owner or each video provider has to fight for that attention, has to vie for that attention. And we all know that the top, let's say, 4 or 5 slots of those 9 are taken. They're all the famous names that we're all familiar with. But if you're a new or growing OTT app, you're not vying for 9 slots in somebody's household. You're really vying for, let's say, 4 or 5. Those first set are locked in. And the goal there is, of course, to drive engagement, to drive overall revenue, to increase ARPU, and ultimately, of course, the merchandise.
How is that objective matching up with the consumer behaviors themselves? In other words, you mentioned that the average number of apps now is as high as 9 and perhaps rising, especially in the United States or in North America in general. How are they responding to what might be called a tyranny of choice? What are you seeing folks do to address that variety of options that are before them?
Yeah, great question. The way we try and break down to understand how to respond to the way consumers are behaving is we look at the world through, let's say, this concept of intent. Sometimes people, and hopefully our audience will be familiar with this, sometimes people come into an app or to a platform or to some video solution with a very defined understanding of what they want to watch. So that's a high intent, if you will. On the other end of the spectrum, of course, is a low intent where you sit back and you say, hey, find something for me to consume. You're not exactly sure, but you know you want to watch something that's aligned with your interests. And so if I go and look at the data, one of the data points that I found really interesting, and this is actually from an IGN survey, is that about 62% of survey respondents say they'll come into an app or into an OTT catalog, and then they'll cancel it after watching that specific show they came in for, that specific movie. We are seeing that behaviors being as they are, people come in with a specific intent to watch. And so then there becomes this very critical moment when they finish consuming that. And again, I hope people have had this experience. I know I certainly have. You finish watching a show, you finish watching a movie, and you sit on the couch, or you're somewhere on your phone, you sit there and say, oh, what's next? And there's that very critical moment that a successful pay TV provider, again, whether it's a traditional operator or it's a streaming service provider, there's that critical moment when you have to keep that user engaged. And survey respondents, again, say that that moment is leading them to a few different behaviors. Let me give you a few more statistics just to back this up. About 10% of them, from what we can see, we as TiVo, we have an aggregation platform. We can see that 10% of viewers are making a catalog decision every month. So every month they're going in and churning out of something because they perceive that asset to no longer have value to them, or that catalog to no longer have value to them. Another survey that we have reported that about 13% of users are evaluating their entertainment spending each month. So this critical moment, this moment of engaging, whether it's at the end of that show or the end of that movie or throughout the engagement with the viewer, becomes very important. We are clearly seeing that people are making churn decisions once they finish watching what they came in to watch.
Well, so let's talk about that moment. What are the levers? What are the tools? What are the options that operators and streaming providers have to address concepts like churn and oversaturation?
ultimately, at the end of the day, the content owner needs to focus on their core business, and that's really making engaging, great content. But you have to add to that with the right type of personalization, the right type of engagement. And so the way I like to talk about it is this concept of a holistic set of personalization. Back in the day, 10 years ago, you may be familiar with the carousel on a screen that would have said something like, recommended for you. And to a certain degree, sometimes that's still used. But over the course of the last decade, again, going back to that concept that I mentioned earlier in terms of different behaviors, different intents, personalization has taken on this whole much broader definition throughout the life cycle of a viewer. Whether that's right at the beginning of your engagement with them, they start with your app. We have something we call a first-time user experience, and we've demonstrated that if you do personalization right at the beginning of that initial experience, you can keep people, and their retention rates are a lot higher. Their churn rates are a lot lower, to the tune of about 15 to 30% at the 7 to 15-day mark. Right through, I'll say, the bulk of their viewership, and so this again, is understanding and having the wherewithal to know that sometimes people come in, again, with a very specific thing in mind that they want to watch. Sometimes they want to be shown, here are a few options. Sometimes they have high intent, sometimes they have low intent. And so that then continues through to doing personalization at the end when you're trying to retain them, or even at the concept of win back, knowing that you can personalize your win-back communications to try and bring the users back. This is all leading, as what we're seeing with some of our data, to an increase of engagement. One of the ways that we measure that is a metric that we call effective catalog size. And so you can think about effective catalog size as essentially how much of the catalog you or I or anyone else is consuming. And what we've seen is that those that engage with personalization, that have this more holistic personalization, have about a 35% increase in their effective catalog size. And so we know we're making the content stickier. We know that we're changing the perception of value that that viewer has in the catalog that is in front of them.
Very interesting. Let's dive into what is available to operators to help them manage this, specifically the evolution that TiVo has gone through, and specifically the personalized content discovery, or PCD as you guys call it. How have you seen that, A, be accepted and seen, and what went into bringing that solution to market based on the problem statements that you've outlined in this conversation?
TiVo's personalized content discovery solution really is the culmination of about a decade or more of research into machine learning and AI and these models that sort of identify, capture, and respond to these different ways in which people discover content. We've even then blended that with the right metadata. Often metadata is not really talked about all that much, but I can tell you that when you blend the right metadata with the right discovery, that 1+1 is certainly more than 2. Just anecdotally, we've done some A-B testing where we've tried to build carousels on, let's say, more emotive metadata. Metadata and carousels that are based on that, which speak to the human condition. So I'm talking not about genres and titles. I'm talking about moods, tones, themes, topics. And we've seen that when you build a UI and you build carousels and you build an experience based on that better combination of deep discovery, or what we call deep discovery, but better metadata, along with the personalization, you can drive what we saw, 20% click activity increase. People stick around the content for longer, 13% increase in viewership duration and consumption. We see a very significant increase in engagement. Now, what does that all mean? How do we drive that to, at the end of the day, bottom line changes? A couple of years ago, we started on trying to tie this holistic personalization concept to overall churn rates. And we've done a number of analyses across a number of platforms in North America, in EMEA, in APAC. We've done that across traditional pay TV operators. We've done that with OTT streaming service providers. And at the end of the day, we see that when people are engaged with holistic personalization, I mentioned the carousels, I mentioned the metadata, I should mention voice and doing voice in a personalized way, what's on TV, that one utterance, if you can do that right with personalization, it is magical for users. When you do all that right, we have seen about a 3x reduction in churn rates. And this is A/B tested, normalized. We're not taking only those that are early adopters or, let's say, tech savvy. When you take all of those signals out and you normalize for those, you still see this really significant reduction in churn based on this holistic approach to personalization, holistic approach to engagement. So the value at the end of the day is increased revenue, revenue preservation, reduced acquisition costs because you're not having to go and re-win those customers back, and essentially allowing these operators and catalog owners and content owners to really focus on their core value and their core capability, which is building good content. What we're trying to add to that is to show that the performance of engagement through personalized discovery and the continuous development that is just a critical part that goes hand in hand with good quality content.
Outstanding. Chris, what a wonderful conversation. What a nuanced perspective on how it is that the operator community can meet customers where they are by applying intelligence and emerging technologies to better understand, better personalize, and better connect and engage with the next generation of viewers. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you.